Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batzler. Ukraine conflict. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausin, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Keystone State, as well as the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy to comment on the tumbling news in these last days of the confrontation that begins in Ukraine but stretches around the world. Primarily, we're concerned with the two speeches. Not dueling speeches, but certainly one side and the other. We begin in Moscow with Vladimir Putin's cancellation or postponement or dislodging of nuclear weapon arms control, the New START treaty, but also Mr. Putin's remarks accusing NATO of starting this war and claiming that Russia is fighting to defend itself. At the same time, the president, some hours later in Warsaw, made it very clear that the U.S. supports NATO, will continue to support NATO, and finds Mr. Putin's attack on Ukraine unacceptable and that it must be defeated 1 year into the war. What is to be done with Vladimir Putin's speech? What are your points that you see in his speech about these next days? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening to you, John. Well, first of all, I thought that Mr. Putin's speech really lacked a great deal of content. Frankly, he underscored the willingness of Russia to continue fighting this war and double down in many ways in his demonstration of determination, number one. Number two, I thought there was a real effort now over time we've seen, and this speech underscored it once again, to change the narrative. The narrative being, of course, initially that Russia was invading Ukraine to take down a Nazi government, to rid this particular area of Nazis, to defend the people of Luhansk and Donetsk. Those were the arguments that they presented 1 year ago for this special military technical operation. Now he was pretty categorical that this is a war with the West. The West is out to destroy Russia. This is an existential moment. So in many ways, I thought his speech was more directed for domestic consumption than it was for international consumption. He's been trying to make this the great patriotic war number two. And while support for his policy seemed to endure in Russia, it doesn't seem that the Russian people are overly supportive and patriotic about sending their sons and off to be killed in the fields of Ukraine. And then the third thing, of course, was his announcement of suspension of the New START treaty, which got a lot of attention. But even that was in many ways a blinding flash of the obvious, since the Russians and us suspended participation in the treaty back in 2020 because of COVID and the inability to conduct on-site inspections. Now, to be fair, in November, a meeting had been organized in Egypt for the coordinating committee to reestablish a schedule for inspections. And at the last moment, the Russians refused to show for what they called was technical reasons. But they've, in essence, had been in suspension ever since 2020. And Mr. Putin went on in his speech to caveat his suspension, which, by the way, is not allowed under the treaty, by saying, well, if conditions change, we might go back in place, et cetera, et cetera. He did not withdraw from the treaty. Many experts I know say the Russians right now are so stretched in terms of resources. But one thing they don't want to do is get into a big nuclear arms race with the United States, where they could be forced to spend billions and billions of rubles, which they don't have. And then finally, the staging of the whole event, where Mr. Putin now is speaking to a very staid group of Russian bureaucrats and politicians. Several appeared to me to be dozing as the speech continued.
The event in Kyiv, where the president visited quite bravely in a war zone, was to be offset by the launch of a Satan II missile. The launch failed, but that is a strategic weapon, Jeff. And once again, Vladimir Putin rattles his saber. So let's go to the president's remarks in Kyiv and then followed by the president's remarks in Warsaw. What I heard is that we're in this to win. How else do you regard the president's speech?
Well, I think, first of all, John, you need to put the speech in a broader context of three events, the Verkhunda Converse, and a very large American congressional delegation and a very powerful speech by the vice president. Even Mitch McConnell, Senate minority leader, attended, and he never does do that, to reannounce that the belief that the Republican Party's support for NATO was dead was largely premature. And then, as you rightfully point out, John, the president's trip to Kyiv, which was stunning, and a silver lining in that dark cloud in that the Russians had notified us under the notification procedures that they were going to test that ICBM. So there is some contact. And oh, by the way, we had notified them that President Biden was going to Kyiv. So there are lines of communications that are open back and forth. Somebody will answer the phone in Moscow, which is somewhat of a good news. And then finally, of course, the president's speech in Kyiv. And then, like we said about Mr. Putin's speech, Mr. Biden's speech was outdoors, lots of young people. They were playing Beyonce Movement. The whole staging, in contrast, I thought was amazing. And the president, in essence, made several points. One, you just suggested unwavering U.S. support as long as it takes, a phrase he uses frequently. Really, self-congratulations for the NATO alliance in its ability to hang together, and pointing out Mr. Putin had assumed NATO was weak. And then thirdly, very clearly calling out Mr. Putin personally. He mentioned Putin 10 times by name, called him craven. But he wanted to, though it was not supposed to be a rebuttal to Putin's speech, in some ways it was, because what he wanted to do was disassociate this notion of a war with the West that Putin had portrayed by Mr. Biden going on saying this is not a war against the Russian people, and Mr. Putin could end this war, as Biden described it, with one word.
The contest in Ukraine is not the whole story. The president meeting with the Bucharest Nine in these last hours. The Bucharest Nine consists of the countries, mostly you regard them as Eastern Europe countries, formerly under the boot of the Soviets, who are on the front line of a contest that, Jeff, at this point, I could save the balance of the century. There's no reason to presume there's going to be a short time period in which we'll all go back to pre-pandemic times. The threat to NATO is now palpable. I mention also that this morning there's news about Moldova's sovereignty, something that in Moscow is changing. It is not clear what this means. However, in these last days, I've reported that Moldova is in a panic. It closed its airspace a week ago, and there was talk of a Russian coup or undermining the government in Moldova. It's not a member of the EU. It's a candidate to be EU. It's not a member of NATO, but it borders our ally, Romania, where we've deployed and the French have deployed soldiers. And there's thinking in Bucharest that we are the front line. The reason I tally all this is because in some fashion, this is now what Mr. Putin says it is. NATO is greatly concerned about its security going forward into the future. And that means we've got two kinds of war going on right now. The war in Ukraine is a recognizable frontline battlefield, resembling the World War I. The war for NATO is unclear to me because it doesn't only include the geography of Eastern Europe. It's cyberspace, it's outer space. Is this what we feared, Jeff, all those years, a war of all populations all the time?
It could well, sadly, be just that, John. And it's not unlike the Russians in terms of policy to try to redirect your attention away from the central problem. Obviously, the central problem is the front right now in the Donbas region. But reaching out and trying to cause issues in Moldova, and don't forget as well, John, on the east bank of Transnistria River in Moldova is a force of Russian soldiers, about 1,500, who have been there since the end of the Cold War as part of the so-called Transnistrian Republic. But in addition to that, of course, a grave concerns by the Bucharest Nine, particularly Poland and the Baltic states, about Belarus. You know, Belarus is not part of Russia. Belarus is certainly not part of NATO. Could there be hostilities end up between those countries? We saw a crisis between Poland and Belarus only about a year or so ago over refugees. And then it's not one area I've kept an eye on, John, is the Balkans. It would not be uncommon for the Russians to try to stir up some problem in the Balkans to pull our attention away from the central problem in Ukraine. So all these areas are, I think, opportunities for Russian mischief as they try to redirect our attention. And then finally, of course, when you talk about the Bucharest Nine, I think it's important to remember that they have borne the burden, the biggest burden of Ukrainian refugees. And in his remarks yesterday, Mr. Biden in Warsaw publicly congratulated the Polish people who have hosted about 1.5 million refugees from Ukraine on their territory for now 1 year. Moldova, that poor country in the south we talked about, not an EU member, in comparison to its population, as a percentage of population, has the largest number of Ukrainian refugees of any of those countries along the so-called, central region, the new front, if you will, between Russia and NATO.
What we have here, Jeff, resembles a preparation for a total war. The Germans have a fancy word for it, something like war warning. Is this the moment that NATO has to decide that it needs to do more than meet the 2%? There was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal in these last days saying, why not 3%? Is NATO ready to go to that level of concern, your measure?
I'm not sure, John. They certainly may be. I go back to Mr. Putin's remarks talking about we are at war with the West, and we see that translated in Russia into greater and greater efforts to put the Russian economy on a war footing. We know that quietly they're doing additional mobilization of forces. So one side says we're at war with you. One side is mobilizing itself economically. And meanwhile, the Western side is arguing over a handful of tanks. And I think we've got to really be realistic that we have to see a much greater attempt not only to provide military assistance to Ukraine, but sadly, using that phrase from Franklin Roosevelt, mobilize the arsenal of democracy to make sure our industrial base now is at a point to create the capacity of military equipment, ammunition, et cetera, that sadly we may well need in future and certainly need if we're going to demonstrate our resolve and deter the Russians from additional escalation.
The Bucharest Nine, Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, and Slovakia, all with easy memory of what it is to be under the Russian Soviet boot. There's another country, however, in the fray, and when we come back, we'll speak to it. You've heard of it, China. Jeff McCausland, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy CEO. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.